Welcome to another edition of Conversation of the Heart. Of course, it is your boy T. Till, a very special guest in the building here, Mr. Randy Atkins Jr. He is an entrepreneur, author, pastor. He is somebody who has written an incredible book called Produce on Purpose. We will get into that. But most importantly, he is a father. We are going to be getting into that topic as well as we're recording this is Father's Day month. So I wanted to do a show or a couple shows based off of fathers, honoring fathers, celebrating fathers and the work that they do, and just hearing their stories on fatherhood, the joys, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. But first and foremost, happy early Father's Day to you, sir. I know that it is well deserved. I hope that you can get a steak on Father's Day, or something really nice on Father's Day for you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great if I don't get the tie or the screwdriver. I think it'll be good if I can get a steak. It's great to be here, Terrence. I'm really excited about this conversation. I think we can, share some good things about fatherhood and also some good information about how we can just kind of live this life in a better way, in a more fulfilling way. So,
absolutely, great to be here. Going to be excited about hearing all about the book and the reasons you wrote the book. Well, let's start here. For the people who don't know, who are you? Like, who is Randy Atkins Jr.? Who are you?
Yeah, so Randy Atkins is an author, he's a teacher, he's a speaker, and I'm a father of three. I'm a husband of 25 years. And I just really enjoy being a leader in the community. I've done a lot of travel. I've traveled to over 22 countries. And additionally, I just really love sharing and giving back. I'm also a consultant, a software consultant, and I've been doing that for over 24 years. But most of all, I just love sharing with people, giving back, and really expressing and having fun in life. I believe exposure in life helps us to learn more, and that nothing that we do is a failure, because it's just every step is a learning lesson that we do. So, that's a little bit about me. I do quite a bit, but most of all, I love just being around people.
Mm. Well, first off, I know you said you've been married for 25 years. You're doing software consulting for 24 hours. I tell you, sir, black don't crack, sir. You don't look like you've been in the game that long. You don't look like you've been in the game that long at all, sir. So definitely shout out to Black Don't Crack. 22 countries. Wow. So quick question about this here. So as you travel, right, has travel impacted, kind of how you see the world as far as you being a man? Like, how has that impacted you in your journey through life?
Yeah, travel has been one of those areas that's impacted my life and my family's life in multiple ways. It helped broaden our experience. I found out that really I didn't do a whole lot of travel until I got married and got a job. And I started traveling with my job a lot. And initially, the only context that I had was what I grew up with, my environment, my family, maybe that one trip that we did when I was a kid to Disney World. But when I started traveling abroad, doing international trips and throughout our nation, you begin to have a broader experience about the human condition, that we all deal with something, but sometimes it's different in how we handle it. And it also gives you an ability to kind of have come up with more innovative solutions to things, because you say, wait a minute, over here, they handled that situation a little different than I would have done if I only had the context of where I grew up here in Charleston, South Carolina. So it's been kind of cool as a man to experience different cultures, different ways of approaching life. And that's what, the exposure has done. And that's why I really do love to travel, because it kind of gives you that feel. And sometimes you travel just to relax and see the beautiful places, but mostly it's really meeting different people and the cultures that I've been able to be exposed to.
So. And that's beautiful. I remember having a friend who's an Army, and he traveled all over. And he was like, you don't really understand what's out there. He said, people, he said that live in the States, they don't get everything that's out there. He said they think that we're just the end all be all. And he's like, there's so many more beautiful things to see and so many more beautiful places if we just get out. And in my mind, it's funny because, when I used to teach job readiness training courses to the underserved for nonprofits, they were, the people that were in the program, the young adults, I'm from New York, they couldn't be, they didn't even leave the Bronx. They didn't even leave Brooklyn. So forget New York. It's like, I was like, wait a minute, you guys haven't been to Queens? No. Brooklyn? No. Staten Island? No. I'm like, so like it's just so like it's literally just the Bronx. It's like the Bronx is all you know, or vice versa. If I moved or when I went into Queens and taught in Queens, I'm like, you never been to the Bronx? No. Like, wait.
And that really makes your perspective of life really small or myopic, and that means that you're only seeing kind of what you've been exposed to. So I encourage anyone, exposure provides like this great eye-opening experience that allows you to kind of see things in a bigger way. And
Wow.
I've definitely had that just from some travels. One of the best trips, we did a missions trip to Uganda, Africa, one of the best trips ever, because we got to see people like us, and it was fun. And even though what we think we see on TV, they may not have all of the things we have here on in America, but they had family, they had tribe.
Right.
And that was just great for us to see. And also that they were happy. They were happier than most of the people I knew here in America. And I'm like, wow, that's the kind of exposure that we need so that we can also have a true appreciation for what we're how we're living, what we're
Yep.
doing, and also the relationships we have. Are we making those connections on a daily basis?
100%. Appreciate you for sharing that with me. So fatherhood, we gonna get into the married life in a little bit, but let's get to the fatherhood. How many kids do you have?
3 kids. I have a 22-year-old daughter, a 19-year-old son, and a 16-year-old daughter. So,
So they're all teenage and adulthood.
yes.
So when it comes to so when you first so I want to take you back. Because I didn't realize, you put you seasoned. Didn't realize that. I thought, you was a little younger. So taking you back to the first time that you found out that you were going to be a father, how did you feel? Right? Some people, I mean, I've heard stories. People tell me that the chest was hurting. Like the heart was beating fast. Right? So what about you? What was your journey like when you first became a father? How did you feel when you first found out?
So, my wife and I, we had decided, we were like, we want to do this. And the when you finally find out, wait a minute, I'm going to have a human that's going to be fully in care of me. Like, my wife, at least she can, do some things on her own. But wait a minute, I feel a little inadequate to be able to take care of all of the things. And we're not just talking about house and roof over your head. I'm talking about the emotional stuff. Like, I got to be able to have a conversation with my daughter and tell her, hey, this is going to be all right. How do I do that? How do I consistently make sure that I can be a role model for her, that she knows how a man should treat her? And it's important. And I one of the things I've instituted with my girls is I would at the age of 13, I start taking them out and showing them how a man should treat them. And so those are the things that running through my mind when I was back then. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. There's no owner's manual. Where's the owner's manual for the fathers?
On the job training, sir.
Exactly.
Wow. And it's funny that you mentioned that when you started to turn 13, that you started to take him out, in the different places, right? So
Yeah.
now this little boy was coming up, talking about, two for 20 at Applebee's. That's not gonna fly. Because you've already been to Applebee's, you've been to Red Lobster, you've been to the upper echelon of different places, right? So it's not like they're not used to anything. Like they're absolutely, used to, a man opening the door,
Yes.
flowers, the normal things, right? And doing the right things. That's super dope and very important. They're well traveled, so it's not like they're gonna be
Right.
like impressed by saying, "Oh, I'm gonna fly you out to Cancun," and she's gonna be like, "Bruh,
She'd be like, I
I've
already
been to the motherland.
been there.
Don't talk to me about Mexico. Like you don't talk to me about these commercial flights and all. No, I need to go
Right.
somewhere else. Where else you going? Where else we going? Right? So you can't just take me to Miami and South Beach, and you know how that goes, right? It's
Show me the
South
real
Beach."
things in life.
It's Mexico and South Beach. So now that they're growing into being adults now and young adults, you're setting them up for success, man. So that's really amazing. Daddy's little girl, we'll get to your son in a second. Raising girls, girl dads, it's very interesting. I hear different stories, from men about being girl dads, but how was your experience with being a girl dad, raising two girls?
Yeah, that experience is it's really tender, right? And us as men, we have the emotional side as well. Unfortunately, when we were growing up, we're told not to really share that. But girls gonna make you do it. And you see the eyes, or you see them. You don't want them to have any pain. You don't really want them to go through anything. And you do the best that you can to be there for them. Even at this age, I'm still there for them. My daughter's about to move. I'm gonna go fly up and be with her and make sure I move her in. And that's never gonna change. But like, I'm here for you if you need me for anything. And I think for fathers and having girls and having them, you just want to take care of them. And of course, the flip side of that is also that we should take care of any woman because they're somebody else's daughter. And I have to put that in place, because whenever they meet that person, I want to make sure that what I have instilled in them and shared with them and given them that love and given them that space for the emotional pieces that they have in their lives, that there will be another man that has the capability and the space in his life to provide that same emotional space for them. And that's really key with the girls. And you just want to be there. You just know you can't protect them from everything. So
No,
you
no.
got to pray. You got to pray for the rest of it, man. So
Yeah, pretty hard.
yes,
So
yes, yes.
it's very interesting though, because you being a man, obviously, and raising daughters, a lot of people focus on the financial piece. Like, hey, get a man that can provide, make sure that he has, put a house over your head, roof over your head, things like that, right? But you said that you wanted to make sure that you have a man in their life that can also provide and have space for emotional health and that emotional peace, right? And to me, that's very interesting and that's very important, because vulnerability is power. Emotional intelligence is key in relationships. It's very underrated, especially for
Yes.
men, of how we could provide that kind of support, right?
Yes.
So when it comes to that piece, right, how important do you think that piece is for women also to target when it comes to, in their dating choices or dating preferences? It's not just, I want the guy to slap the money on the night table and I'm out, and you take
Right.
care of the rest, bro. Like, all the emotional, mental stuff is not for me. Like, that's how it was. At some point growing up back in the day, your grandparents or great-grand, that's how it was for a lot of us,
Yes.
right? There was no emotional intelligence. So why did so why was it so important for you to make sure that you tell your daughters to find a man that is also emotionally intelligent?
I think it's important because in if for them and for all the relationships that they end up having, that they are healthy enough to know, number one, they're happy with themselves, that they can, have that space to understand their emotions. It's difficult. I didn't grow up with all of the greatest, pieces of emotion. And when I was growing up, I said, when I have an opportunity, I want to be able to share that emotion with my family, with my children, and in a different way, because I believe that is where we see true growth. And I've seen that in my life. After, you work on it, you have to be able to work on expressing what emotions are. Well, what am I, what, why am I feeling? Many times for men, the only emotion we seem to get is anger out of all of the other emotions that are there. Now, you might be scared, but you're angry. You might really be in a place of where you have some kind of fear or something that's really causing you angst, but you're angry. And there's more to it than that. And anger sometimes expresses itself in the very wrong way. And I wanted to make sure my daughters could, number one, understand and see that in lives, that they know how love is. I often would send them to 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, and I say, hey, look, whoever it is, you make sure you put their name in front of all of these things that it says love is. And you say, is that person kind? Is that person patient? Is that person? And go down the list. And if they are, then they are loving you. If they're not doing these things, they're not loving you. And being able to share that and also embrace them and hold them and give them that space is, I think, the most important thing, not only for girls, but also for boys as well. I tell my son I love him. I let him know that. And it's important for us to continue to do that. And it gives us a place where then we can live a healthy life. And again, hurt people because they're hurt and then they end up hurting others. And I didn't want that for my children. So that's why I made it a very, number one priority in my life to be able to share with them. So,
I loved it. I love it a lot, to be honest with you. I talk about this a lot, and being that it's Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, it is June. It's also, Father's Day month. Want to talk a little bit about, the journey of manhood a little bit. Because you brought up a good point, anger. I think the journey is tough, I think, when it comes to men, right? It's different struggles, right? But we're gonna just talk to the men for 1 second here. So when it comes to like your journey in life, right? Because I know sometimes not everything is good. Not everything is good at all. Like there are times in life where life just really throws the wrench at you, the wrench, the whole toolkit, and you just feel like you're suffocating. You feel like things aren't going to turn around. Like that, I mean, it happens, right? And for women, sometimes therapy, talk to the girlfriends, talk to the mother, the aunties, whoever, right? Men, for a lot of us, we reject therapy. We don't want to talk to our boys because we want to make sure everything looks like it's all good on paper. We could be in the club with them, dancing up with them, but up here we're completely like depressed, we're anxious, we're sad, right? But outwardly we're just, yeah, right? And we go home, and it's a different ballgame when you by yourself at home, right? But now to add a different layer to that, now you go home and you got a wife. And you got kids because the level of responsibility is my family as a man. They can't see me struggle. They can't see me falter. They can't see that about me, right? That's an extra layer of pressure, right? And with men committing suicides at a double rate, with men having, heart attacks and high blood pressure, all these things that come from feel like stress, right? How did you navigate, How did you navigate, I guess, those dark times, especially with a wife? Because a lot of men don't want to go to that woman. They don't, as even if the woman gives them a safe space, they don't want to ever feel that vulnerable, or they don't want to, like, they don't want to seem like they don't got it or have the answer. Like, even if they have a great woman, like, how
Yes.
did you navigate those waters, right, during your journey in manhood?
It's interesting because these dark times, they do happen. I don't care who you are. And as time goes on, there's going to feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. It could be that there are times when you have family issues that are going on that you have to take care of. Maybe you might be having issues on your job, which is going to be, a hit to your identity and who you are. Or maybe you're not able to provide as much as you need at this moment. So you might not have enough finances and or maybe a health scare on the way. And sometimes it seems like all of those things happen at one time. And the way that I've found that really that it has kind of helped me is you have to have at least one person, and it may not be your spouse or significant other, but you gotta have at least one person as a support that you can share how you truly are feeling. That person is going to give you enough of a space to be able to share that information without judging you. And also, it's not so much that you're sharing to get advice. Because I'm of the belief that in most cases, if we could just get it out, if we could just share it, if we could just talk about it, that most of the time you already know what the answer is and kind of how to walk through it. I also, of course, encourage if you can, you can do therapy, if you're there. But if you're not there yet, I just say look for that one person. It may not be a significant other because sometimes the significant others may not quite give you that space. They may be nagging. They may be not understanding what you're really going through or listening. And a man's plight and a father's plight is a lot, because if you think about it, I have a household. Guess what? The lights got to be on. The water needs to be on. The entire house needs to continue to run. Then that's provision. Then you have to be the one that needs to protect your family. And you, there's so much that's uncertain with that. But that's usually put on us. And sometimes it's really put on us, but on ourselves, because we never speak up or tell anyone, hey, I'm feeling this right now. And you may find out if you have a significant other that they say, hey, you don't have to take that load right now. Or you could talk to someone and they say, think about it a little differently. And I always say it's really good to also have some older, if you have an older man in your life that has kind of gone through some of the things, sometimes they give you a different perspective that says, hey, man, I've been there. You're gonna be okay. But sometimes that's all we need to hear. It's gonna be okay. And I don't know what the different plights are, but I've been through some pretty tough times, some pretty rough times. And those times, it is really leaning on that kind of support. And of course, I lean on God to give me additional help, but you need people here, that you can talk to and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling right now. And just be able to tell it just like it is. Sometimes it doesn't make sense at first, and that person's got to have enough patience to listen to that. So that's why, good time, therapy is good, because they'll listen. And a lot of times they may give you or ask you additional questions. But you have to have somebody to support. I've had some people in my life since I've been growing up that have given me support that I didn't even know at the time, especially as I was growing up, that those people were what the significance was until later. As I grew older, to begin to reflect back and say, that person has always showed me love. They've never judged me, and they always let me know, hey, it's going to be okay, no matter where you are at this moment, and you've got my support. wherever you are. And I think that's the most important thing. That's the only way really for us to continue to get through. We do need each other. That's a it's a lie. It's a fallacy that you can do this on your own. Nobody can do this whole life thing on your own. You can't. You need support.
Yeah, and I've always said that you definitely need a village. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but I say, man, it takes a village to get through life. You know what I'm
Yes.
saying? In different stages of life, you know. And like you said, you know, if you have a supporting spouse, a supportive spouse, then by all means, right?
Yes.
And even sometimes, if you do, sometimes you could be going through stuff, especially when it comes to money. See, I think. See, with men, sometimes I think like it's pick and choose what's going on with their spouse, right? So it's like, you know, if I'm feeling sick, I'm gonna go to my wife, right? Like, you know, I'm gonna get that care, right? And she'll know what to do, right? Right. But when it comes to money, a lot of times that's not a conversation you want to go through with your lady. You know, because you're supposed to be the leader, you're supposed to have the vision, you're supposed to have, you know, certain things in order for your family. So when you take a hit, I mean, look at the economy that we're in. Layoffs are happening, you know, all the time. And it's not just happening to women, obviously. It's happening to both men and women, right? And those people have families, right? And so, especially when it comes to money, it's just a thing. Like, you may not want to go to your significant other. That's a tough one for men. Like, men become very, you know, having thoughts about their worth, about who they are, about, like you said, their identity, you know, and it gets dark. Get to a very dark place.
And your money can be an interesting thing. One thing I've found over the years is that money comes and money goes. And depending on your season and what you're doing, it's just important to be able to educate ourselves on money and how to handle, manage, and move forward with it. But you got to find somebody to talk to, regardless of what it is. If it's not your significant other, find somebody to talk to about it that knows about it. Now, I'm gonna tell you this, brother. I'm not gonna talk to somebody who's broke about money. I'm gonna talk to somebody who knows or has money or has gone through something and can share and tell me and give me advice. Don't go to them brothers that don't have nothing and ask them. I'm just telling you, man.
Yeah, I mean that's really true. You know, and I think sometimes, like you said, I think especially when it comes to money, we just want to get it out, right? Like, you could be going through a season, and even though you may have a vision for certain things and you got a plan, but sometimes that journey is rough with money. You know, it could be an array of different things, and you're just like, oh, I'm frustrated. You know, but
Yes.
you don't want to go to your wife. You know, you're like, oh man, I'm frustrated. You know, money. You know. It's just sometimes it just hits different for men when it comes to money for some reason, right? But yeah, so I appreciate all of that insight because it's very true, very valid. Just please find somebody to talk to. I always tell my friends, look, talk to me about anything. Anything. If I could help, I will. I said, if I have resources, if I could point you in the right direction, I will. I said, I'd rather you talk to me than me look at you in a box. That's
Yeah,
just the reality
definitely.
of it, you know?
Yeah, it's about our health. It's about our survival. And it's important for us to be able to do that. And, again, without judgment, like, I can't judge you. Like, especially if I know I've been in some really tough spaces and some tough places where I had to think twice and say, well, how did I get here? Well, every single time I will tell you, I did get out. And so, what happens is you need that support during that time, at that low time, when it doesn't look like you have no way out. There is a way out. There is always a way out.
Love that. I love that. So your son, of course, so what they say is raising a boy is different from raising a girl, right? My mother would tell you that's a lie. You know, she would say, because she had two boys, no girls, but she has a bunch of sisters, right? But from her perspective, was If I would give my daughters curfews, I'm gonna give my son a curfew. The dangers that's out here in the world, people getting murdered, killed, beat up, or just hurt. A lot of just different things going on out here with men, with boys, right? And she's like, look, am I treating you like a girl? She's like, I'm treating you like my child, like you're my kid, whether it's a girl or boy. She's like, I don't want my daughter getting, she said, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't want her getting hurt, raped, beat up, nothing like that. And she goes, for a boy, the same thing. He goes, but you add another nuance to it of wrong place, wrong time, cops, certain things. She goes, you in the wrong place at the wrong time at a certain time of night. It's a different story. And she goes, a lot of
Exactly.
times we think that we should just only protect girls. She goes, no, I'm gonna take my boys too. And I was just like, man, I didn't really get it. When I was 16, 17, I was like, Mom, please, can I stay out till like one? No. I didn't get it. I was like, Mom, treat me like a girl. And she's like, I'm treating you like you're my child. He goes, what do you think?
Yes.
She's like, what do you think? I don't want my son to come home? She's like, what does that mean? And I didn't get it until I got older, obviously, right? So with your son, and you're having two, you have two girls and a son. So was it different for you raising a son versus raising the girls? Like how was that journey for you? Not raising somebody, it's like your boy. You know what I mean? Like put him in sports. You know what I mean? Dress like you. Put him in some suits. Whatever. How was that journey for you?
Yeah, so it's definitely different for me. I would say that the biggest difference is that I wanted to make sure that he had a foundation because I think with sons they're gonna want to model their father. Daughters, they're gonna love you and do their thing, but the son's gonna want to model the father. And secondly, I wanted to make sure that he's aware of what this world has for him as a black man. This is something that not only I had to, take on, but my wife too. We have to educate our children about being a black man in America and what that means growing up. That's different. And he's got his locks and everything now. And things have changed, which is cool, but I always want to make sure that he's aware, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you need to know what to do. And you also need to make sure you try not to be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And so we provided primarily all the opportunities to make sure that he had the exposure and he also had the opportunities to see all kinds of different things in this world. And just be educated enough to, try not to make the right, not to make the wrong choices, but to make the right choices on a consistent basis that will allow him to live in freedom and freedom within himself, and to make sure that as a black man here, that he is safe. Protecting him is a little different than protecting the girls. I'm wanting him to grow up more from a perspective of being aware of everything that's going on. We tell our girls the same thing, but for him, he's gonna have to be the head of a household one day. He's gonna, I want him to know, hey, man, you don't have to take the entire world on your shoulders. You go ahead and start talking to him and make sure you have the help from the beginning. That's something I didn't do. I didn't start doing that until, a few years back. And it's like, man, I wish I would have been doing this a long time ago, not holding on and trying to do it all myself and sometimes clamming up like, no, here, man, this is what I want you to do. And I'm always here for you, always here to be able to talk about that. And, that's key because I'll be that support for you if you need it. And, that's been a really cool thing to be able to do, man.
Wonderful. And when it comes to the emotional intelligence space, I know you went through it with your daughters, right? Now, what did you tell your son about having emotional intelligence? Because like you said, he's going to be the one heading a household, dealing with his future wife, girlfriend, whatever the case is, right? that's going to be his thing. Like, what did you tell him from a man's perspective on how to handle those emotional parts?
Yeah, I told him, look, it's important to understand what your emotions are, understand what feelings you're actually having. Let's have a conversation. What are you actually feeling at this moment? And there's this thing called a feelings wheel, and take a look at the feelings wheel. And within the basic primal ones are like something like sadness or anger or thing, but you can also express those things in a greater way. Look at this feelings wheel and tell me what are you feeling like right now? And when it's right to be able to express and say, hey, I'm feeling this particular way, which I wasn't taught to do. I had to learn this stuff as time went on, and that he could have that from the beginning and then be able to share that in the correct way, not to just project it onto somebody. Because what happens typically is, we have these feelings, we end up projecting it on somebody else, and it's like, wait a minute, that's how you feel, but that's not what that person's doing to you. Go ahead and let's talk about it. Let's express it and make sure that you're doing that on a consistent basis. Because anything you hold in, it was explained to me like this: is you keep putting stuff in the trash can, and if we keep putting trash in the trash can, there comes a time. Even the other day, I went to the trash can and I took the trash can and I pushed the trash down so I could have a little more space. But if I can keep putting trash in the trash bag, but at some point, I need to take that trash out. And that's how our emotional pieces can be. If we keep putting the trash of emotions into ourselves and never take it out, it's going to get stinky at some point. And so we want to make sure that I shared with him that, hey, this is something you need to keep a check on, and at any time. And every now and then I'll check on him and say, hey man, how you feeling? Don't just tell me I'm all right. No. How you feeling? How's school? What's going on? What's going on with your relationship? Tell me, what's going on. And let's just have a talk. I'm not dad to son, but let's have a talk. Make sure you're good.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he's going to be better for it. Because I always say, like, when you teach your kids, especially your boys, emotional intelligence and how to communicate properly and effectively, they're going to be ahead of the game. And not just in relationships, but that works in the boardroom, that works at work, school, friendships. He's going to be ahead of the game. So, salute to you and what you're instilling in to your children. It's so important. So, marriage, 25 big ones.
Yeah.
Man, what's the secret, man? I know on social media, like everybody wants love.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the prayer that Ciara prayed. Everybody wants the prayer. Everybody, whenever they see a successful relationship, they want to know the sauce, right? But
Yeah.
everybody is different, right? But I do want to know, like, what is your secret to sustaining a marriage for 25 years? And not just sustaining, because the one thing I do want to point out, back in the day, people were together 50, 55, 60, 70 years. Don't mean they was happy. It could have
Right.
been for circumstance, because people, women couldn't work, whatever the case is, right? But the key for me always, it's a healthy relationship. Some people could be together 50, 60 years and sleep in two different beds, right? What I mean is, what is your secret to having a healthy marriage for 25 years? Because, I mean, you got to be doing something.
Yeah, I have I do computer science, so I like to explain it this way. If I take one half and I take one half and I multiply that one half, what do I get? I get less than one, which is one fourth. I actually get less than what we started off with. But if I take one and I multiply it by one, what do I get? I get one.
One.
It's important for each person in a marriage to be whole and happy within themselves. That is something that we figured out over the years. Now, initially, when I first got married, I said, oh, you know, I'm going to complete you. I'm going to make you happy. And I'm going to tell you, brothers, that's a mistake. Because you can't do that. You can't make her happy. And she can't make you happy. What you have to do is you have to begin to look within yourself and make sure you understand who you are, why you were put here, and understand that I'm going to bring the best myself into this world. And when it comes to marriage, I make the choice to share that with you because you're that person I want to share it with. Because there ain't no fun going out and enjoying this life all by yourself. You want somebody to share it with. And if you are whole and you are happy within yourself, and guess what? You're not angry at anybody because you're happy. You're happy with your life. You choose every day to make and share that with that special person in your life, with that love, with that care. And when we provide that to each other, then that means there's space for us to really show love and to really care for each other. And it's not about what I do or what you do, because, you know, we could get hyper-focused on what somebody's not doing and what maybe they should be doing. But if you are taking care of who you are and you're good, you're not worried about that, because you're going to continue to give what you have been given to this world and share it. And then that's what, to me, has allowed us to grow over the years. And I tell people, you got to allow time to grow and become better within yourself. But I always tell people, focus on yourself. I do premarital counseling sometimes when I'm about to marry someone, or we have a conversation. My wife and I used to do some marriage counseling, and we shared that information. Is like, after time. Now, did we get it at first? We didn't know. We were just young. We were young and in love. And we just going with it. But there comes a time when you figure out, you know what? She can't make me happy. I can't make her happy. But if I'm happy within myself and we both come together one and one, man, we're going to multiply and we're going to do some good things. So that's my secret sauce to anyone. And it's a little different than what a lot of things that we initially thought about life. And, you know, I think when you come to the end and you figure out, look, I got to be good in my heart. And if I can do that, then all my relationships will be so much better. And you will have a lot more joy, a lot more fulfillment, a lot more excitement about each day when you are living in that space.
I love that. And what would you say when it comes to, because as much as that is 100% true, I find that sometimes when people or couples get very comfortable with each other, right? When they argue or there's misunderstandings, right? The gloves come off like a lot, right? Some people say things that they can't take back. Some people do things that they can't take back. Yep. And the excuse is, oh, well, you know, I didn't mean that. You know, I was angry. But no, you already said it, bro. You already did it, sis. Yep. So when it comes to conflict resolution, which is an absolute skill, right? When it comes to conflict resolution, like, what would you say for it could even be a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, whatever, married couple. Like, what would you say would be the best way to communicate and navigate through conflict?
Yeah, so conflict can be something that's very difficult, because if you have high emotions, and I'll go back to my trash analogy, and if both have a bunch of trash, y'all ain't take it out, it's going to be stinky when y'all start arguing and having a conflict. But the key will be that you both, number one, first of all, agree, look, We need to have a conversation, and if the emotions get high, we got to have some. We need to go ahead and have a conversation. While everybody's calm, don't do this while you're mad. Do it while you're calm beforehand. That, hey, when we get in these conflicts, this has not been good. So what we want to do is we want to start. Number one, I'm going to work on me, and you're going to work on you. Number two, what we're going to do is when that time comes, one of us can say, hey, hold up. Can we have a timeout, a conversation? And during that conversation, one of the things that I say is a tool that you can have is to be able to share three things that you love about that person off the bat. Then, after you've shared those three things, because that means that you're going to bring yourself down from an emotional height. Don't have this conversation while you're at high in emotions, because some people want to do that, and I will, I'm not going to go between. Sometimes there's a person that wants to have that conversation right then and right there, and just, and then there's another person that says, "Wait a minute, I need some time." You got to be able to respect that and say, "Let's get some time where we both are in a space. I'm going to tell you three things that I love about you, and then I'm going to tell you what hurt me. You, not what you did, what hurt me and how it hurt me." And then that person has an opportunity to respond and say, "I'm sorry." And if they're not ready to do that, that's fine. You guys step away, and you have to come back again at some point in time to do that. Of course, we were taught, the Bible tells you don't go to sleep on your angry and on the wrath. I'm gonna tell you, brother, sometimes I didn't do that, man. But you
God
do the
knows your
best
heart, man.
that
God knows your
you
heart.
can.
Don't
You do
charge
the
it.
best that you can, right? To try
Yeah.
to do that. But those are some tools to kind of help. But you both have to realize, number one, this is not healthy, a healthy way to resolve what we're doing. And forgiveness becomes a big word. And that means when I forgive you, I'm going to let go of all past hurts and issues. And this may take some time, but this is where healing comes in. Because if we don't heal from the things that we've done in the past, they're going to continue to come up. You have to let it go. And when you let it go, that's part of what forgiveness is. Some people would ask me, they say, well, does forgiveness mean that I'm forgetting? Like, at some point, yeah. Because if you don't get to a place where that's no longer in the back of your mind, you're going to continue to bring it up, and it's going to agitate you. And it's going to be a part of your life until you heal from that.
I won't tell you a lie, sir. And when it comes to communication, I am more so like, I'm gonna fix this right here, right now. Don't come to me no week later. Don't come to me no 2 days later. I'll probably forget about it. I got something new going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got new life moving. I got new problems. You know what I'm saying? People have new things going on. Like, you want to bring up old stuff. Like, I want to get this out the way now so that we don't go to sleep, mad at each other, because life is fleeting,
Yes.
and in my world, from what I've seen with my own eyes, you could be with somebody, like physically be with them, and you leave them in a half hour, something happens. And that's in my world, from my eyes, from what I've seen and from what I've experienced. So for me, I'm like, yo, like, let's fix it so we can get back to just what we do. That's like, you know what I mean? Back, let's get back to what we do,
Yes.
because life is fleeting. Like, that's just the reality. So that's where my stuff comes from. Cause I'm like, yo, listen, let's just fix this. Cause I'm not trying to have this all drawn out, cause then I get irritated now when you want to bring it back up tomorrow. And I was upset on Sunday. I'm happy Monday. Now you come ruining my Monday with this nonsense. We could have hashed this out when, like that. That's my mentality. But I have learned I have learned to give more time. A little more time. I won't say a lot of time, but I try my best to give a little bit more time than what I used to when I was younger. And The one thing I've learned about conflict resolution for me is what I do differently is because when I was a little younger, I'm a person, or I was a person, that I don't like to start arguments. I love to finish, Mortal Kombat style. Like, I love to
Right.
win. Like, I'm the
You
closer.
want
I'm the Kobe Bryant, the Michael Jordan of closing this argument. I don't like to start it, but if you bring it to me, I'm willing to do it. And
Yes.
in learning that about myself, I learned that that wasn't the right way to do that. Because as for me, I'm very vocal about what I don't like. And if you wrong me, I will tell you. I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm going to talk to you about it. So I'm a guy that likes to communicate. I'm a guy that likes to bring it here, right?
Yep.
But some people aren't always like that, right? So they wait. If I do something 6 weeks ago, it's like now 6 weeks later, you're snapping and you're doing this or whatever the case is. Now I'm like, wait a minute, like I don't know even when that was 6 weeks ago. Okay, look, you got about 6 seconds to get out of my face with this nonsense, right? Like that's how I was, like just because I'm like, I'm bringing it to you when I something happens to me, I bring it to you. I'm an adult. Like communicate with me, like that's how I was always was. But I think now I'm a lot more. I give a lot of more grace, and so when something is brought to me, sometimes I've come to learn that even if they are aggressive or even if they something happens and they snap, I've realized some of that stuff may not even be about me.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's what has been kind of built in, and it's a pressure cooker kind of thing. There's a key verse in the Bible. It says a soft answer turns away wrath, and I have found that actually does work. In not to make it make somebody more upset or mad, but it's in the way that's loving. You do it with an intention to say it's loving. I want to hear what you have to say, but it's not going to affect where I am at this moment. And I think when we are able to do that consistently, then it can, kind of bring down the heightened levels that sometimes conflicts can get into and conversations. And a conflict, when people are yelling, nothing's getting done. We're not getting anywhere. So we might as well not do that. We might as well get to a space where we're both ready to hear, be able to forgive, and come up with solutions that will help us move forward. Because if we agree that we want to move forward, then we're good. But if somebody doesn't agree they want to move forward, there ain't much you can do about that, but let them stay where they are. And if you need to listen, and that's one thing I tell people, if you commit, do your thing, be as committed as you can be. And but everyone at some point has to get to a place where they say, I want healing in myself that I don't get upset and I don't get angry about all these things that are going on. Because like you said, life is fleeting. If we understand that, then a lot of these things that we get so upset about and so angry about, they don't matter as much because the thing that matters the most is really our relationships. And if we can make sure those are intact, because that day when you no longer hear, the thing that's going to last are those relationships that you made that, and they're going to remember you by your relationships. They're going to remember you by your house or your car you drive. They're going to remember you by the relationship and how you made them feel.
And that's 100% facts. And I think that's why also like understanding who you are and understanding even your shortcomings or your growth opportunities is so important because I saw that even though I know I was a good communicator, there was certain pieces of it that I said, like, that's probably not the right thing to really do, right? And I prided myself on being a good communicator, but I wanted to be an even better one, a great communicator in relationships. And so that's why I said, all right, you can't do that. Like try to approach things even in your response from grace. Tell you, it's a patience. Took a lot for me. Test when you say you want to change, then God gonna say, okay, I'm gonna send you a test. We're gonna see. And I have been tested. And I can proudly say, I passed the test.
Awesome.
98% of the time. You know, you still might get that 2%, you know, God knows,
Hey, we
please.
all are growing.
You know,
We
but
all
I'd
growing.
say I am night and day from that part of my communication. I'm night and day in how I do that. And I realize I have a much more successful relationship because of it.
Yes.
And how we communicate and how we cut things short as far as the strife, the BS, all that stuff. Like it's once you respond in love, sometimes it's hard to return in strife.
Yes. You got it,
I'm
brother.
like, didn't I hear this book?
Yeah.
Okay.
It
Yeah.
works, man.
It does. And it causes you less stress. Now you're less stressed. Now you guys, now I'm not arguing. Now I don't really, now we're talking like mature adults. We're just getting
Yes.
things out, right? And I think that's
Yes.
the key, is the key is to get back to being who you guys are in the relationship and get back to the love. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you don't have to return strife. Even though you got hit, you got hit. You don't have
Right.
to return the fire. You know,
Yes.
you don't have to. So I definitely completely agree with you with that. So, Deuce on Purpose. I want to know about this book. Why did you write this book? And tell the people kind of just what it's about.
Yeah, Produce on Purpose is for us, and it's Produce on Purpose experience life being the real you. I wrote this book primarily because I see a lot of people suffering on a consistent basis, really giving people a path to really awaken in their lives and spiritually get stronger, be able to have a way to live on the purpose that your creator made for you. You know you're here for a reason. Everyone knows that. You're here for a reason. And based on that, there are a lot of books about purpose. This book is not about purpose. This book is about what do you produce once you know what you have a purpose for? How do you continue to have a life that's full of fulfillment, a life that's full of joy, a life that you can have great interactions and relationships? And it is that we should be able to take a look within ourselves and be able to have a light that shines in this world and be able to produce fruit in this world that will help everyone that we meet, all the relationships that we're in. And the way to get there is to be authentically who you really are. On the cover of the book, there's a mask. And many times we wear masks on a consistent basis. And when I say a mask, it can be, for example, we talked about as a father having to put on a mask when you go to work, you're code switching, or you're going out and doing different things that every time you're in a different place, you're putting on a mask to really hide who you really are. And the book is there so that you can be who you are, no matter what. I also share kind of how when I first started, I figured it out that I was put into social norms when I went in my kindergarten classroom and I was told, "Hey, sit down, crisscross applesauce." And that was the first time I was kind of told to conform with everyone else. I didn't want to do that. I want to do something else. Well, we are authentically built and designed to be unique. You are. And you can produce on that purpose. You can experience life being the real you. And through that, there's great joy. There's great freedom. So many people are looking for freedom, but they think it's because the freedom that they're looking for is just for choice. But the freedom that you're truly looking for is to be free in an aspect of who you are and who you identify with. That's what the book is about. Definitely, you can, go take a look at that. It's on Amazon. It's on my website, randyatkinsjr.com, and I believe it's a game changer. It's a life changer. I like to say it's, people like to call out think and grow rich. I say it's the think and grow rich for the soul. Change your life, man.
Change your life, man.
Yeah.
I love it. I definitely love it. So give the people how they can, reach out to you, where they can find you. Because I want people to go out there and get this book, let them know where the book is, whether it be on Amazon or wherever, and just where they know that where they connect with anything new that you're doing or any new projects.
Yeah, definitely. You can go out to my website, randyadkinsjr.com. There you will find information. I also have a podcast that I produce on purpose, events that I do, as well as the about the book. You can also go to Amazon.com. You can find the book there if that's a good place that you want to catch up. I'm also on YouTube, so you can check out Produce on Purpose there. And you may even catch a sermon or two that's out there from me, or some videos that they are on YouTube. So just check it out, YouTube, and say, hey, Produce on Purpose, Randy Atkins Jr., and I'll be there. I'm on all other social media platforms as well. If you want to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, I'm there as well. Just wanting to share this message with as many people as I can.
Wonderful. First of all, just thank you for coming on the show, dropping all those nuggets of wisdom, gems, I like to call them. I think a lot of people will be impacted and blessed by everything that you've just said, especially in fatherhood. Thank you for all that you do as a father. I know it's not glorious. I know it's a thankless job, but I really just say thank you, because we need more fathers like you. And I always say people are watching. Kids are watching, even if they're not yours. I remember one of my friends, he came to me just this year. So I'm in my late 30s. So he came to me. I've known this guy for over 20 years. And he said, he has a kid now. And he was like, when your dad he used to come pick us up from basketball practice and all those things. And he used to be at your, everything, basketball practice, traveling events, everything that your dad was to you. That's what I aspire to be.
That's a
And
blessing.
that is a blessing. And sometimes you don't really realize that even your kids' friends are watching, because they don't have what you have. They don't have what their friends have, which is you, right? So you never know who's watching, man. So salute to you. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. Appreciate everything that you're doing. Please, people, go out and get that book, Produce on Purpose. Please support this brother. You're always welcome back on the show at any time. Love to hear about your projects and things like that. Definitely appreciate you, and thank you for coming on the show.
Terrence, I really appreciate it. Thank you. And thank you for creating this platform. And I want you to know and encourage you, brother, to continue to do what you do, continue to share, and continue to allow your voice to be heard in the audience. And, I'm here, man. If you need anything, continue to reach out, man. Keep it
Absolutely.
up.
Thank you, brother. This has been another episode of Conversation of the Heart. Tune in next week. It's your boy, T-Tail. Peace.